Good day, and welcome to the Profound Medical First Quarter 2017 Financial Results Conference Call and Webcast. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on a touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Steve Kilmer, Investor Relations. Mr. Kilmer, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me start by pointing out that this conference call will include forward-looking statements regarding Profound and its business, which may include, but is not limited to, the expectations regarding the efficacy of Profound's technology in the treatment of prostate cancer. Often, but not always, forward-looking statements can be identified by the use of words such as plans, is expected, expects, scheduled, intends, contemplates, anticipates, believes, proposes, or variations, including negative variations of such words and phrases, or state that certain actions or events or results may, could, would, might, or will be taken, occur, or be achieved. Such statements are based on the current expectations of the management of each entity. The forward-looking events and circumstances discussed in this conference call may not occur by certain specified dates or at all, and could differ materially as a result of known and unknown risk factors and uncertainties affecting the company, including risks regarding the pharmaceutical industry, economic factors, the equity markets generally, and risks associated with growth and competition. Although Profound has attempted to identify important factors that could cause actual actions, events, or results to differ materially from those described in forward-looking statements, there may be other factors that cause actions, events, or results to differ from those anticipated, estimated, or intended. No forward-looking statement can be guaranteed. Except as required by applicable securities laws, forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Profound undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, other than as required by law. On the call today representing Profound are Arun Menawat, our Chief Executive Officer, and Rashed Dewan, our VP of Finance. With that said, I'll turn the call over to Dr. Menawat. Arun?
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Profound's Q1 2017 conference call. On behalf of the management team and everyone at Profound, I would like to thank you for your ongoing interest in our company. I will turn the call over to Rashed in a moment for an update on our 2017 Q1 financial results. However, before I do, I'd like to give you an update on some of our commercial activities and, of course, our TACT pivotal trial. First, you may recall us saying during our last conference call that we anticipated Q1 would be the first period in which we would officially recognize revenue. I'm very pleased to announce that we are, for the first 3 months ended March 31st, 2017, the company recorded revenues totaling approximately $290,000, which was related to the pilot commercial launch of the TULSA-PRO system in Europe. This is obviously an important milestone for Profound's history, but it also continues the steady progress the company has made on our journey to establish TULSA-PRO as an important therapeutic option for prostate cancer. We have a journey ahead of us in terms of fully commercializing this technology and fulfilling the unmet needs of patients who suffer from this disease. But this is a major step forward towards that goal and reflects the growing interest in the technology in the markets that we currently serve. Further to our pilot commercial launch, I have a few updates to share on our work to penetrate the European market. As I explained during our last call, Profound secured CE Mark designation for TULSA-PRO system in 2016, which granted Profound commercial sales of the device in Europe and other CE Mark jurisdictions. With the CE Mark designation for Profound system secured in the second quarter of last year, Profound initiated what we have called a pilot commercial launch of the system in Europe, with the intention of securing and working with a number of early adopters of the technology. This approach allows us to establish and refine our sales process, fully understand the markets we are working in, and better navigate a variety of regulatory and reimbursement environments. It also allows us to focus on the education of our first customers so we can drive adoption and utilization of the technology in key sites. Last year, we announced sales of devices in key European markets that include Spain, the United Kingdom, and Germany. This quarter, we were pleased to add Finland to that growing list of countries. On March 20, 2017, we announced the sale of a Tulsa Pro system to the Turku University Hospital there. The deal was completed in collaboration with Royal Philips, who, as you know, is working in partnership with Profound to commercialize the technology in Europe. Later that month, in March 27, 2017, we announced that the first Tulsa Pro patient paid procedure was successfully completed at the Alta Clinic in Bielefeld, Germany. The procedure was carried out under the supervision of Dr. Lumiani, a leading German radiologist and early adopter of MR diagnostics and MR-targeted prostate biopsy, and a founder of Alta, which was established as a state-of-the-art clinic offering the most innovative diagnostic procedures and treatments. The completion of our first paid procedure represents another big step forward for Profound in the commercialization of Tulsa Pro device, and we also believe that it will serve as a catalyst for further adoption of the technology across Europe. Overall, we remain very pleased with the progress of our rollout in Europe and the growing awareness we're seeing in the technology. And we fully anticipate further announcements in the coming months as negotiations continue with a number of different groups and organizations across the continent. One other item I would like to discuss is our TAC pivotal trial. For any new participants to the call, TAC is a prospective single-arm pivotal clinical study of 110 patients that is designed to further evaluate the safety and efficacy of Tulsa Pro to ablate prostate tissue in patients with localized organ-confined prostate cancer. The trial is being conducted out at multiple sites throughout the United States, Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, and Canada, through most of the patients will be treated in the United States. And it includes some of the most renowned sites and investigators in the world, including London Health Science Center, Johns Hopkins University, University of Chicago Medical Center, and the German Cancer Research Institute. If successful, TACT is expected to support Profound's application to the U.S. FDA for approval to market the Tulsa Pro system in the United States. In terms of an update, the recruitment process is proceeding smoothly as sites come on board and investigators move up the learning curve. To date, 25% of patients have been enrolled in TACT and treated, which keeps us on schedule to conclude the study as planned sometime in the second half of this year. While we likely won't be able to provide any comprehensive outcomes or side effects data to the investment committee until later in the year, as this is an open-label trial, we will have a good sense. We have a good sense about how things are shaping up as it proceeds. At this stage, it is really too early to reveal anything specific. But I can tell everyone, that incidences of side effects, as we have seen in TAC to date, are similar to what we have seen so far in commercial clinical practice in Europe. So we're feeling very good about things so far. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Rashed, who will provide you with an update on our 2017 Q1 financial results.
Thank you, Arun, and good afternoon, everyone. As Arun mentioned in his update, the company recorded revenue for the first time for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017, totaling $592,000. Expenditure for R&D for the first quarter of 2017 were lower by $625,000 compared to Q1 2016. The decrease in R&D spending reflects the advanced stages of development of the company's product and the ramp-up of commercial operation. Material expenses and contractor expenses were lower by $963,000 and $53,000, respectively. These costs decreased compared to the Q1 2016 due to lower development initiatives associated with the company's TACT pivotal trial. Offsetting this amount was higher clinical trial cost of $391,000, resulting from ongoing activities related to the initiation of clinical trial sites, visits, enrollment initiatives, and patient treatment. G&A expenses for the 3 months ended March 31, 2017 were higher by $183,000 compared to the 3 months ended March 31, 2016. Salaries and benefit expenses increased by $212,000, primarily related to separation payment payable to a former executive officer. In addition, rent expenses increased by $42,000 due to relocation to a larger office facility. These costs were offset by lower share-based compensation of $122,000 related to forfeiture of share options. Also, office and other expenses were $33,000 higher compared to the first quarter of 2016. These costs are reduced primarily due to the realignment of sales activities, which are classified under selling and distribution. Overall, the company recorded a Q1 2017 net loss of $4.1 million, or 7 cents per common share, compared with a net loss of $3.8 million, or 10 cents per common share, for the same period in 2016. For the first quarter of 2017, the net loss was primarily attributed to R&D expense of $1.9 million, G&A expense of $1.1 million, selling and distribution expense of $1.2 million, and the interest and accretion expense of $290,000, partially offset by the interest income of $49,000. As of March 31, 2017, the company had cash of $16.9 million. As of May 9, 2017, Profound had 55.3 million common shares issued and outstanding. Thank you. And I'll now turn the call back over to Arun.
Thank you, Rashed. To summarize the two key messages that we want to convey today are, one, we are starting to see commercial traction develop in our European pilot launch of TULSA-PRO. And second, the U.S. pivotal TAC trial is proceeding well. We look forward to updating everyone again on the progress in our Q2 call in August, and I would like to now open the conference call for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on a touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If any time your question has been addressed and you'd like to withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Again, that is star, then one to ask a question. At this time, we'll just pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question we have will come from Martin Landry of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone.
Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Arun and Rashed. My first question is with regards to your sales. Wondering, your sales of $592,000, how many units have been recognized in that number?
Sure. We recognized three units in this quarter, but we did not recognize all of the revenues of those three units because this is our first quarter, and we wanted to be sure that everything has been operating very well. So we've only recognized the revenues where, you know, commercial patients have been treated, and we've kept some reserves for the unknowns in the future.
And did I hear correctly that the revenues related to the units sold were $200,000 in your opening remarks?
It was 590.
Yeah, no, 590 total revenues. Units are typically sold for higher per price than this, but we only recognize revenues where we feel pretty confident and, you know, we've kept some reserve for services and so on because we're at early stage.
Okay. And do you have any disposable revenues in the quarter?
Three sets.
We have three sets in this first quarter, so very little.
Okay. And can you talk a little bit about, your purchase orders intake? How, I think last quarter you were mentioning that you were getting 2 to 3 purchase orders a quarter. Are you still at that run rate? Has this changed? Any color on the evolution of that would be great.
Sure. You know, I think, first of all, that run rate is a fair assumption. You know, I think that we will convert the pilot launch into a full launch by the second half of this year. And, you know, I think if hopefully things will suddenly start to get better than that. But at this point, I think 2 to 3 per quarter is a fair bet.
Okay. And what date do you expect to move to full launch?
In the second half of this year.
Okay.
So
Q3. July or?
Sorry?
Do you have anything more precise in the second half?
So Q3. So it's, you know, I think it's not a hard, rigid date. The idea is that we wanted to have enough sites running, make sure that that we understand all of the commercial aspects of this. But, you know, we are gearing up to increase the sales force and so on to be able to create a full launch in Q3.
And what exactly do you mean by a full launch? How many salespeople would you like to hire?
Marshan, at this point, we are not going to be very specific about it because it will depend upon what the pipeline looks like. But I can tell you that we don't plan to starve the company of salespeople. We certainly will be, you know, fairly aggressive in making sure that we support the pipeline and the customers.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Again, as a reminder, if you'd like to participate in today's Q&A, it's star, then one to ask a question. Next, we have Brian Gagnon of Gagnon Securities.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I've got a couple questions for you. Can you remind us the number of centers in the trial?
So at this moment, we are anticipating somewhere between 11 to 14 sites in the trial.
Okay, and how many of the IRBs are completed at this point?
All of the IRBs are completed, Brian, but not every site has treated a patient.
Okay, so at this point, you expect that you'll start treating patients in all your centers in the next, you know, during this quarter?
We expect that all sites that we plan to have will be operational during this quarter. Certainly the rate of recruitment has picked up as the, you know, the surgeons who have done the first couple of cases have become more comfortable. The rate at both sides is picking up, so we're pretty happy with that.
Okay. I know you can't give exact specifics on the trial, but you mentioned that you're able to achieve similar side effects. Is that while you're ablating the entire prostate?
We are, you know, the data that we have, so it's an open label trial, so we, the numbers that we have are early stage, and so, you know, these numbers do change with time, but what we have seen so far, you know, in commercial patients, and even if I go back and compare to our phase one trial, the PSA numbers and the side effect numbers are tracking very well.
Okay. Procedure growth. We know it's very early, but can you give us an idea what the doctor and or patient feedback is in the EU? And then if you would, couple that with what dollars are you getting per procedure, and what's your expectation for dollars per procedure in the U.S.?
Sure. So far, the commercial patient feedback has been very positive. The procedures are typically being done in about 2 hours, and the first set of patients that have undergone the procedures, the PSA numbers are well below one, we don't see any side effect related issues at the moment. So you're right, we can talk about commercial patients, and so far it looks, we're very, very pleased with those results. As a result of the fact that the first two patients have undergone and are happy, we do anticipate good commercial launch. I think, for example, the first site that has done a few cases is likely to run probably 1 to 2 patients every week. And I think, you know, having done, you know, commercializations of new technologies in my past, I think this is actually a very good start for us.
So mathematically, if you were able to do 1.5 patients a week, that would get you to 75 patients a year, and the dollars per procedure are give or take $3,000? Is that about right?
So I think in Europe, we're right now in U.S. dollars $2,000 to $2,500 in that range. I think in U.S., typical tends to be 20-25% higher numbers. We'll see when we get there. But certainly in Europe, I think $2,000 to $2,500 is a U.S. dollars is a reasonable place to be. So,
okay, but I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But if you're at $2,250 a patient and you're doing 75 procedures a year, that's about $170,000 worth of procedure revenue on an annualized basis. Is that something that you think is achievable over time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. Since you're allowed to talk about your commercial patients, can you give us an idea of maybe what some of the commercial patients have had done? Have they had a full ablation? Have they had a focal? And what's the feedback from the doctors on how the procedure is working? And then I only have one more question, and I'll move on.
Sure. No problem. So, Brian, the sites that we are in right now are what we call 5-star sites. They are using MR imaging for diagnosis. They're using MR biopsy to really pinpoint where the cancer happens to be in the prostate. And then they're able to use our MR-guided temperature-controlled therapy really ablate in the most targeted way. And one of the things we're learning is that this, we think, is in fact the wave of the future. And so the patients that these sites are treating tend to be much more targeted. And one of the feedbacks we're getting is not only the targeting is important to them, but the precision that they get because of the closed loop temperature control allows them to keep the all of the ancillary organs and so on intact, and which reduces or minimizes the probability of side effects. So I think this has been the concept behind TULSA-PRO, and, you know, again, caveat, very early stage, but we're definitely seeing those results.
Okay. Last question. Your sales launch, your full commercial launch in Europe, will you do that alone, with a partner, or a combination of the two? And are your partners being helpful at this point in growing the business?
Right. Very good question. So we have distribution partnerships with both Siemens and Philips. And most of our capital sale part, which is the upfront installation of the robotic system and the software, all that is through those partners. We do have the ability to sell direct, but at the moment, we're basically asking them to take the lead role. They have the relationships, and they're able to bundle all of those. Our strategy is that we will continue to focus on that part with them, but on the disposables, we will build a direct sales team because we want to have a direct relationship with the customer, and we want to be able to support them, and it's a two-way relationship. We can learn as we go at this early stage as well. So that's our strategy.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Again, as a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on a touchtone phone. Again, that is star, then one to participate in today's Q&A. The next question we have comes from Doug Lowe of Excellion Wealth Partners.
Yeah, thanks very much, and congratulations on recent progress here, Arun. Just building on Brian's questions, when you're focusing on commercial traction in Europe, Philips has clearly been a supportive partner here with some of your early sales funnel activity in the EU. Siemens less so. So maybe just building on your last response to Brian, I just wondered if Siemens had any visibility in your sales funnel, and if not, what sort of relationships are they building for you in the EU, and how will their sort of participation in your funnel build out sort of participate in your launch in Q3? So that's the first question. And then second of all, I mean, you did talk in some length about your early case history in Europe for your installed systems. I just wondered if any of those seminal sites might be contemplating any formal phase four clinical studies, just to kick the tires on patient follow up with TULSA-PRO ablation, just as an initial thought experiment, maybe comparing primary versus salvage patients and longer term follow up as something that they might want to explore academically. But leave you to maybe talk about whatever other academic initiatives might be ongoing through your existing commercial install base, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Sure. Doug, I'm happy to talk about both. So first of all, I happened to mention Philips in the prepared remarks, but Siemens actually is doing very well. Also, and as we look at our pipeline and as we look at the deals that have been closed, both of the companies actually are tracking about equal. So Siemens is doing very well with that. We're really pleased with the relationship, actually. With respect to your second question, Doug, you know me well from the past. We are very focused on clinical value, and you're absolutely right that a number of these physicians or surgeons are already thinking about different kinds of patients. And I can tell you at least one of the patients that was done recently was a salvage patient that failed treatment in another procedure. So we are likely to establish that we can be a salvage therapy also for those who have failed. And that is, I'm very pleased with that, because if we can establish that, that also sets us up for first-line therapy over the long haul. There is a lot of conversation we are already in with the Europeans and the Americans and the Canadians about what kind of future studies we would do. Because when we look at the FDA, this trial that we are doing, this is a very specific trial for full gland and it's really for FDA. But ultimately, I anticipate that it will be used as a tool where they will be able to target the therapy, because our technology gives them that freedom and the control to do that. And so that flexibility, I expect, will be a selling point for us in the future. And I do anticipate that a number of surgeons will begin to do very specific, smaller but very targeted studies to demonstrate the flexibility of our technology.
That's great feedback. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, at this time, we're showing no further questions. We'll go ahead and conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the conference call back over to the management team for any closing remarks. Gentlemen?
Thank you so much, and we're really looking forward to updating you on our progress in the second quarter. Thank you.